is a News 1130 special report.
All right, we're here today with Aaron Chapman, author of Vancouver After Dark, The Wild History of a City's Nightlife. It's available now from Arsenal Pulp Press.
Thanks for having me, John. Great to see you.
Good to see you. Now, usually I open with a question like, what made you write the book? But I'll dispense with that here. To me, this seems like a natural evolution from your books about the penthouse and the Commodore to even the last gang in town. Did you feel like this was the next step for you as a writer?
It definitely, the book probably has more in common with the books on the penthouse and the Commodore that I've done. And those places are still standing, of course, but there's a litany of clubs over the years that are gone. And in some of my conversations with people of many different generations in Vancouver and all ages, everybody has a favorite sort of night spot that they used to go to that isn't around anymore. And that sort of got me thinking about the nightclubs in the city that have gone over the years and that entertainment history in general and maybe what we've lost through it all. So it seemed like the right time to tackle it.
Every city has its collection of night spots, some legendary, some bygone, some enduring. What is it about Vancouver's nightlife that makes it special or different or worthy of further study?
Well, I think there's a number of different reasons for that. First of all, you know, Vancouver itself is and always has been very well placed in the sort of the entertainment touring circles, really going back to vaudeville. But it happens today with, you know, major concert tours that start or end here in Vancouver. Typically Vancouver, you know, going, as I say, back to the vaudeville days, this was sort of known as tune-up city, where shows would start here, and then maybe by the time they got down to the coast to what was admittedly bigger population centers, they were kind of ready to go. But the act was sort of well-rehearsed by that point. But so Vancouver became sort of the center where some of those tours and those shows would begin, going back to, you know, as they say from concert tours today, that going back to like when the Marx Brothers used to bring a live show to the Orpheum Theater and things like this. So, in particular in the 1960s, places like The Cave and Izzy's Supper Club, Oil Can Harry's, these were all places where some of the nightclub acts of the day would do their shows. And you'd start here and then head on down the coast. And a lot of these shows never went on to necessarily Calgary or Edmonton or on through, you know, the eastern Canada. Eventually it would probably hit Toronto, especially when they came up the east coast of the United States. So Vancouver was a little bit spoiled in that way. We saw a lot of great talent here and some of our own, of course, that in here in the city at those clubs. No city should be a museum or anything like that. Businesses are going to come and go as our musical tastes and changes. But what's interesting about some of these places is it's not only where some of this, you know, really A-list famous talent of over the decades had performed, but it's also where we as Vancouverites went to, and we went to gather and meet one another and connect. So I think they still hold a special place, even though some of these places are gone. And even, you know, years after they've disappeared, people of a certain generation still talk about The Cave or Love Affair or the Town Pump, even, you know, like, so there's something special about these places within Vancouver, and they still sort of make up the DNA of the city, even though we've kind of lost them.
You open with a pretty bold statement that Vancouver never was a no-fun city, but is it fair to say that it's a little less fun than it used to be?
I don't think so, and I'm probably going to shock people by my confidence in saying that. What I tried to do with the book to show certainly is that, yes, Vancouver has never been that sort of no-fun city concept. Now, there have been people who have wanted to shut down the party. There have been people who have done their level best to make sure that Vancouverites didn't have fun. But at the same time, there were always a sort of a smarter, little clever, more clever class of people that managed to get around that, be it get around some of the liquor license things, get around some of these places were on the up and up, some of them weren't. But there's always been a group of people that wanted to manage and found these clubs to make sure the party was happening. And I think, you know, I'm born and raised in Vancouver, and I sometimes hear from people when I travel, oh, I went to Vancouver, I didn't have a good time, or I didn't meet anybody. I sometimes say to them, like, well, where did you go? Where did you, you know, because God knows, if I went out every night of the week to some of the invites for shows or parties that I know going on or something like this, I'd need a new liver maybe by the end of it all, you know. And so there's always something going on. There's always been interesting things going on. It just sometimes, perhaps Vancouver does have something insular to it that you've just needed a person to tell you, hey, the party isn't up on that street tonight. It's down here tonight. And hopefully maybe the book kind of is that guide in that sense, even if it's, of days past.
Well, you talk about Izzy's and The Cave and even Club Soda. Do you find that Vancouver – especially for locals, is forced to compete with its own past?
That's an interesting question. I said, you know, there's a certain attitude that, yeah, maybe, you know, the great sort of days of live music clubs are behind us, you know, or something like that. And it's never been more difficult in a way, because there's so many more distractions that we have in the world of ours and so many other different choices of entertainment. And there's different people interested in so many different kinds of music. The internet has completely sort of shattered that and shattered the idea of going out so much that there is sort of a lost art of going out. But there's still an appetite of people who do want to get out of the house and do want to get off their Netflix or, you know, decide to go to socialize with people. And in some of these clubs, there's no better place to do that, even today. So
there's a great line in the book. Well, there's many great lines in the book, but this one stuck with me. Vancouver is the beautiful white girl at a party with no rhythm who uncomfortably claps on the one and the three instead of the two and the four. What was once a music capital is now a wasteland. So you wouldn't agree with that.
That's B.J. Cook, a musician who was here in the 1960s. No, I don't agree with her on that, and I'll tell you why. Because everybody has their own concept of what the glory days were. And the funny thing is, the glory days move with every generation. It's not as though, you know, different your odds are your parents or grandparents talk about a great period, and it was all the people before never had it so good as they did, and all the people afterwards of that generation missed out.
There is a chapter in the book entitled The End of the Golden Age. Now, is that in air quotes, as it were, for you? Or because, for instance, there's pictures of Love Affair and Richards on Richards and some of the other clubs that I grew up with in my generation. Mm-hmm. I'm in my early 40s now. Do you think there was an end to a golden age, or can there be another one?
I think so. In a way, that chapter title is in air quotes. It's funny you single that one out. A lot of people refer to that era when the change in the city as the clubs moved over to the Granville Entertainment District and some of those side streets like Homer Street, where Club Soda and the Starfish Room was, mm-hmm. or Richards on Richards down on Richards Street. We're all kind of disappeared, and now if you go to those streets, it's just condos there.
Yeah,
you know, that changed, and that for many people that was a real change. That also happens right around when the internet, pardon me, takes some significance and starts to sort of shatter some of the traditional things about the entertainment scene and concert and live music scene that happens as well. Some clubs, you know, some theaters are now then change over to clubs, or some places that had live music now switch over to DJs. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, it's not the end of the golden age, but it's an end of a certain period, I think, that happened between really what started in the 1920s in Vancouver up until the late 1990s. Mm-hmm. And that coincides also with the changes that happened in Vancouver. Many people point to Expo 86 as the real benchmark of where the city changed. But if you're probably like me, you've noticed more changes that happened in the city in the last 20 years.
Right.
Certainly those things were, in many ways, some of the changes that were happening in Vancouver were happening in the 1960s when we really look at it, and the 70s. But it was really in the beginning of the 2000s, especially downtown Vancouver, where so many of these clubs were, that signaled that change. And some of the just in the makeup of the city and where people were living. So it's the end of an era, but it's not the end of the story.
Ah, that's a very good way of putting it. Let's talk about the future then. Where do you see the club business going now? We have high land values making spaces more scarce, and those operators that are still in the game are, as you point out in the book, becoming increasingly corporate.
Yeah, it's never been harder to probably get involved with that kind of business, especially because of some of the other hurdles that affects everything else in Vancouver, as you say, you know, the high taxation costs, excuse me, and the cost of running a business like that, the margins are tighter. There's still people doing it, but in the case of some of the larger nightclubs, those are managed and run by sort of corporate entities like the Commodore, for instance, run by Live Nation. And excuse me. So I think where it's headed, the concept that, you know, some of the people in the book, you Danny Basita from OK and Harry's and some people like that, you realize they're getting into the club business and owning clubs when they're in their early 20s. There's definitely a change, you know, like yeah. You're going to need a lot of money to get involved in a business like that these days. It's still being done. There's still people opening. There's still clubs closing. You know, right on the eve of the book being released now, the SBC restaurant, the old Smiling Buddha, closes. The ink in the print in the book was barely, you know, dried when the news came out that they were going to be shutting that down. So the story continues. Will new clubs open? I'm sure they will. Do you have to be smarter than ever to run that business? You sure do.
The name of the book, Vancouver After Dark, The Wild History of a City's Nightlife. My thanks to author Aaron Chapman. You can find that book, of course, from the fine people over at Arsenal Pulp Press. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're listening to News 1130, Vancouver's breaking news, traffic, and weather station.